Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of earth, of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord, from heaven. Now, Revelation 21 will be our final reading, the opening of the meeting. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Most will have seen that our reading tonight was to look at second things from the Bible. Now, if you're visiting in a dry goods store and you see things that are marked as seconds, either you look for a bargain or if you want the best, you avoid it because it's really second class. If you're flying second class, well, you get a cheaper fare and you watch the people flying first class have all kinds of attention lavished upon them. You're traveling second class. Same thing if you're second class on the boat. Whatever it may be, second is something that is rather inferior, something that is less than first. But that's not the way it is with God. In fact, that's just a little reminder that the way God thinks and the way men think are altogether different. God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. And when we are addressing the message of the gospel, when we come to the Word of God, we are coming to something that we cannot judge by human thinking. We are coming to a message that is given by God to adjust our thinking, so that if there are any in the meeting tonight that have come to rather see whether what we are preaching is right and whether what we are preaching squares with their own ideas, I would like to kindly tell you that we are not interested tonight in meshing our preaching with the ideas of men. We are preaching what the Bible says. And we would like to ask all in the meeting tonight to be wise enough to adjust their thinking to what God has to say. Now, what the Word of God says very clearly is this, that there is a second birth required. Nicodemus had the wrong idea. He thought that a redo of the first birth was what the Lord Jesus meant. And the Lord Jesus was saying, absolutely not, because the problem is that man is ruined by his first birth. The way man stands naturally before God, he has been brought into this world ruined by sin. And it is absolutely necessary that there be a second birth. Not a second birth like the first, but a second birth that is altogether different from the first birth. Now, this is a word that is often heard in the national media, this idea of being born again. In the nation of the South, where the president a few years ago was born again, everything was born again, and if a man had a hockey career that he suddenly rejuvenated, it was born again, and if a business was on the skids and started to show profits in the black, it was born again. Nothing of the kind. Being born again is not some renewing of a dedication. It is not some kind of religious experience by which a person receives deeper commitment than they had before. It is not a new determination to live a different kind of a life. It is not turning from a modernist belief to a belief in the Bible. That is not the new birth, although that's what passes for the new birth among many. And the new birth is certainly not baptism. The new birth is certainly not joining a church. The new birth is not an emotional experience.
in a magazine that comes into Canada and is circulated as a national news magazine in the States. 2 years ago, the cover on the magazine was Born Again. And in that magazine on the subject of being born again, there were the accounts of the experiences of some celebrities. Now, God isn't more interested in celebrities being born again than the people like you and me, but the magazine was. And so these celebrities had their little testimonies in one of those special colored columns in the bottom of the article. What a sad piece of news. You made that alive. Because all that was there was just the story of sheer, raw emotionalism. One celebrity came into a tent where there was a sawdust floor, and as she began to walk up that sawdust floor, a great tingle went all the way up her spine, and she fell down on the sawdust floor. Now, whatever else that may be, it is not the new birth. What the new birth is, according to John chapter 3, is a personal life look to the Lord Jesus Christ itself. What the new birth is an appreciation that when the Lord Jesus died, He was dying for me. You may have come to believe in the Lord Jesus. That is turning from the belief in Mohammed to believing about Jesus. That is not the new birth. You may have come to a deeper understanding of the teachings of Jesus, but that is not the new birth. You may have all kinds of religious experience, but the new birth is a personal appreciation that when Jesus the Lord was dying at Calvary, His death met my spiritual need. He died for me. That's what salvation is. That's what the new birth is. It is something that comes from God. It is not something you can work up. It is not something you can contribute to. It is something that comes received from God Himself. You could confess your sins all day. That wouldn't be the new birth because that's your work. You could pray all day, and that would not be the new birth because that's your work. You could cry to God all day, but that would not be salvation because that's your work.
You could read the Bible as good as all of those things may be. That is not the new birth because the new birth is God's work.
It is not your own effort. It is not your own doing. God is not looking to you to produce the new birth. Because the reason very simply is this, man is ruined by his first birth. Absolutely nothing he can contribute to God is of merit as far as God is concerned. Absolutely nothing. What men and women find most difficult to admit is this, that as I stand before God, I am totally ruined. I am a lost cause.
I am absolutely without redeeming features. I am absolutely without any capability when it comes to pleasing God or being right with God. Man stands dead as far as God is concerned, totally removed from any capability of communicating with God.
Man is absolutely helpless, ruined by his first birth.
I was looking today at a little poem. Has a number of verses in it, but the first verse asks a very provocative question. What is the foulest thing on earth?
Bethink me now and tell. It is a soul by sin defiled, fit only for hell. It is the loathsome earthly death where countless evils dwell. That is a most uncomplimentary but scriptural description of every individual in our meeting tonight by nature, by birth. Man is ruined by sin. And you, as you're sitting in the gospel meeting tonight, you may have polished up the exterior. And you may be very respectful. I haven't met a person in the meetings in the past 2 nights but was very respectful and courteous at the door. But that does not change what you are and what I am by nature. The first birth has left us ruined. Sin has stamped every human soul. And as a result of sin, I'm not speaking at the moment how many sin. I am simply speaking about the fact of sin. And the very fact that you have sinned reveals the fact that you are a sinner. Underlines the fact that as far as God is concerned, you are ruined and sinned. God says it has to be an altogether new start. It can't be a renovation. It can't be a rebuilding. Ye must be born again. And if at the first part of the meeting tonight, nothing else is lodged in your mind, I do trust this simple fact will be, ye must be born again. It is an absolute necessity. Men have their own ideas about how they're going to be in God's heaven. I don't think that God would keep a person like me out of heaven. But you weren't consulted about the admission requirements for heaven because it's God's heaven. I don't see why, as sincere as I am, I would not be in heaven. I believe everything that you men are teaching. I believe all that the Bible says. I do not see why God would keep me out of heaven. I've never murdered anybody. I've never done anything wrong. My neighbors know that I'm honorable. I try to help all my neighbors and a thousand other things. You see, if admission to heaven were up to you, it would be an altogether different matter. God didn't consult you, and of course he didn't consult me. The Word of God simply says, because it is God's heaven, you must be born again or never enter heaven. His only blood-washed ones are there, ransomed and forgiven. You cannot be in heaven unless there has been the new birth. Now, you'll excuse me if I tell you sometimes I do get a little tired of people who tell me, well, that's just your opinion of what the new birth is. But really, that's a matter of interpretation. Because my religious advisors have told me that when I was baptized, I was born again. My religious advisors told me that because I was born in a Christian family, I really did not need to be born again. My religious advisors told me that I have just gradually become born again because I have always believed these things in the Bible. Ye must be born again. No matter what man may say, you will have to judge by what God has said. You cannot be in heaven without the new birth. And you cannot describe the new birth in your terms. There must be a moment of conversion in the life. A new birth. There must be life received from God. The new birth. There must be personal faith in a crucified Christ. The new birth. You must be born again. Revelation chapter 21 tells us about the second death. I would say there is a sense in which the second death is a result of the first death. The second death is, according to Revelation 20 and 21, the lake of fire. It is not a second time that men die. That is not what is in view. When man dies, his soul and body are separated. That is what the Bible calls death. The doctors can't determine that, but that's what the Bible calls death. It is separation of body and soul. From the body, from the spirit and soul. When a man or woman enters the second death, they will enter the second death, body, soul, and spirit, reunited. It's not a re-dying. It is not simply that something else has transpired as a second time. They once were separated. Body, soul, and spirit. And now there is something different happening. When the Word of God speaks about the second death, it is not a second time of physical dying, but it is a man or a woman entering the eternal state that results from the first separation from God. Not physical, but spiritual.
You see, according to Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is writing to the Ephesians there, and he says, "You hath he made alive who were dead." That's not resurrection from physical death. They were spiritually dead, spiritually separated from God. And all of Adam's family is spiritually separated from God by birth. The blessed news that we are preaching tonight is this. While you are separated from God as a result of sin, it is possible to be brought nigh to God. It is possible tonight to be brought to God, every sin removed, because Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And the moment a person is brought to God through the death of Christ, at that moment they have spiritual life. That's the second birth. But a man or woman who will experience a second death will be separated from God without any possibility of being brought back to God. You see, as you are on the gospel meeting tonight, there is the blessed possibility of being right with God. There is the blessed possibility of receiving life from God. While you are tonight out of fellowship with God, out of touch with heaven, we are presenting the gospel that is God's good news, how you can be brought back to God. But I do want to remind you that for those that pass on without being brought to God, the result will be an eternity in which they will be separated from God. Oh, what a solemn result for your sins. As you stand before the all-seeing eye of God tonight, your sins all known to him. The plain message in the gospel is this. Should you continue as you are in your sin, yours will be the second death. When men, body, soul, and spirit reunite, will be eternally separated from God in that place called the lake of fire. Cast down to the eternal dark, but not to rest or sleep. Thine is the everlasting doom, thine the inexorable gloom, the moonless, mournless, sunless gloom, where souls forever live. Depart, lost soul, unto thy chain, enter the eternal cell. To all that's good and fair and right, to all that's fond and fair and bright, to all of holiness and light, bid thou the last farewell. Gone from every blessing from God, gone from every opportunity of salvation, eternally cut off in your sin, the second death, which is the lake of fire. Thank God for the second man that we have read of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He is in contrast to a powerless man, Adam, who fell to sin. And all those that are linked with Adam are linked with death. And linked with condemnation. But there is another man. Thank God for this man. He is a peerless man. There's not one like him. There is one man that stands alone apart from every human being. Do not for one moment entertain the thought that Mohammed or Buddha or all the great so-called great religious leaders of earth stand to be compared with him. They are all a marked contrast. He stands alone. He is the Lord out of heaven. He has come from the excellent glory of heaven. He has assumed manhood, sin apart, and he came to this earth that he might go yonder to Calvary. And he is the head of a new race. He is an altogether new beginning, not by his birth, but by his death and resurrection.
He has come to earth to die. And that's why the Christians have sung tonight, fairest of all the earth beside, chiefest of all unto thy bride, fullness divine, in thee I see, blessed man of Calvary. Dear soul, tonight we are presenting a Savior who came from heaven that he might provide life and eternal blessing for you. In Adam, there is a sentence of death. The very fact that you and I are linked with humankind is the reminder that we are subject to death and in danger of eternal judgment. But there is another that is coming.
And all that are linked with his death are linked with new life. All that are linked with his death are linked with heaven. All that are linked with his death are beyond the condemnation of sin. Very simply tonight, let me tell you of that priceless ransom that he gave.
Let me tell you that at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, giving his life, was providing payment that your sin might be forgiven. He was providing by his death life
that you might be in heaven. And until you are linked with his death, you are still subject to condemnation, and the second death still lies before you. But every soul who by faith simply takes the message of the gospel in, the same chapter that tells us about this second man tells us that the message of the gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Every soul that is linked with his death has life from God. Every soul who by faith has taken that death for themselves, who has seen that the word of God brings them into the good of what Christ has done, every such soul has God's great salvation, the second birth. Dear soul, tonight what we are presenting is not our idea. What we are presenting tonight is not what is the creed and belief of the people that meet in this building. What we are presenting tonight is a blessed man who came from heaven to die at Calvary, who by dying has provided life for you. And if you can take in tonight from God's word this blessed truth, he was dying for the ungodly, then he was dying for me, then by faith tonight you can claim that death for yourself. And linked with that death, you are linked with new life in him. Linked with that death, you are linked on with the second man, the Lord out of heaven. God grant tonight that in simplicity there may be some impression made on our heart tonight of your need for the second birth. Lest your eternal future be the second death. God grant tonight you might receive life from God through the second man who came from heaven and died at Calvary to provide life for guilty sinners.